Bunyan. How many of you have heard of John Bunyan? I think many have heard. And how many have read his book, Pilgrim's Progress? Wow, that's interesting. I think there's a movie too, huh? John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. I think every person should read that book, Pilgrim's Progress. And it's amazing, very interesting, the life of John Bunyan. Bunyan was born like about 90 years after the Reformation. And he was way before Spurgeon, maybe about like 150 years or before Spurgeon. And life of John Bunyan is amazing story. He was really a terrible sinner. He was born in 1628 near Bedford in England. He was a son of a tinker, meaning a person who made, his dad made like metal pots and pans and so forth like that. John Bunyan was a very poor family. He grew up in an extremely poor family. Came from a poor home. He said about his family, this is what he said, "My father's house, being of that rank, is meanest and most despised of all the families in the land." It's really interesting that the reformers, most of them, went to Cambridge, Oxford, big universities. John Bunyan didn't go to any of those universities because he came from an extremely poor family. His dad was able to afford John to go to a little village school where he learned to read and write. And Bunyan, he recalled his childhood as a notorious sinner. He was a man, even in his childhood, he was guilty of cursing God, swearing, lying, blaspheming God. He really delighted in his sins. He enjoyed his sins. And also, when he was in his youth, he was a ringleader in his youth. He used profane language a lot. And there was a woman who said on John Bunyan when he was young, he said, he was the ungodliest fellow for swearing that ever she heard in all her life, and that he was enough to destroy the whole youth of the town. That was John Bunyan. In November 30, in 1644, I think when he was about 16 years of age, he joined the parliamentary army. And amazing, there was a, John Bunyan tells, there was a friend, John Bunyan's friend, he had to go instead of John Bunyan in some place in the army. His friend got shot. It was John Bunyan's place that the friend went. That scared him a little bit. John Bunyan's mother was Margaret. And John's mother died when he was around that age. After 17 years of marriage, his mother died. And her death is followed by John's, after a month, his sister died. His sister was Margaret. 2 years after his wife's death, that is Thomas Bunyan, his father, married his third wife. His home was in a real mess. When John Bunyan was 20 years old, he married his wife, first wife. Like she was very poor. She was an orphan. And he goes on to say, the marriage to this wife kind of gave a little bit opening for some spirituality to John Bunyan, because his wife brought some changes in his life. Although she was an orphan, she was a godly woman. Her dad was a godly man. And they didn't have, John says, they didn't have even dishes and spoons or whatever like that. They were so poor. And he writes about this in his book, Grace Abounding. When he was 25 years old, he falls out of a boat into a river, nearly gets drowned. Then he goes on to say later, I fell out of a boat into Bedford River, but mercy yet preserved me alive. When I see John Bunyan and Martin Luther, they had more parallel. They both went through a lot of suffering. They were both looking, they were both realized that they were sinners. They both realized that God couldn't justify their sins. They had more very parallel, similar ways. The first time he really felt that he was guilty was when he heard a sermon he heard a sermon on the sin of Sabbath breaking the Sabbath. Those days the Puritans were pretty hard when it came to the Sabbath. They didn't mess around. They really was very strong on that. And he, John Bunyan, heard about this, he heard this sermon. This had been a great sin with him, breaking the Sabbath. And his conscience aroused. And he went home with a great burden upon the spirit, believing, John Bunyan thought, that the preacher was talking to him. And he really, you know, he was so aroused, his burden, his conscience. John Bunyan, he loved sports. He was really into sports. During that time, there was a sport in England which is called tipcat. T-I-P-C-A-T. It's an old English sport. John Bunyan, he loves sports so much. And that was more like his one of his own gods. He's getting excited in sports. He wanted to get into that. One day he was playing tipcat. And he heard a voice asking, in the middle of the game, he heard a voice asking him whether he would leave his sins and go to heaven or keep his sins and go to hell. It's pretty strong, huh? Whether you want to leave your sins and go to heaven or keep your sins and go to hell. But Bunyan loved, he says, his darling sins. He loved his darling sins. He said it was not easy to give up those sins. Especially the sports. And also, Bunyan loved dancing in the village. It's a place there. He loved dancing. Love the music. And to part with this, it's not easy. The music, the dancing, to part with this is not easy. Which he loved to continue. Even though he realized that he was breaking the law of God. So things did not come easy to him. Later on, Bunyan came to the valley of death, in a sense. He was tormented by depression, which even seemed like driving him to suicide. Then the commandments, the Ten Commandments, the law of God
started to plow his heart little by little, little by little. Because they preached nothing, they preached the law of God, which really hit the heart to show your sinfulness. Of course, there was one time John Bunyan thought that only the descendants of Israelites are saved. And he tried to believe that he was one of those descendants. And he tried to believe that he came from the Jewish race. But his father destroyed his hopes, saying, "No, son, you are not from the Jewish race." And another time, he was disturbed again. He said, if I have not faith, then I'm lost. But if I have faith, then I can move mountains. So he was pretty confused here. Of course, he didn't move mountains, so he thought, I don't have faith. Not only he entered the valley, the shadow of the death of the valley, not only became better, but it became even worse to him. He was tormented and haunted, thinking that he had committed the unpardonable sin against God. And he thought that he was not saved and he can never be saved, because how ungodly he was against the Holy God. It's impossible. Evil spirits were very close to his ear and saying all kinds of stuff, and he thought that he was like Esau, who sold his birthright. Once you sell it, no more. And so he thought that there's no repentance. He trembled for days and days and days in fear of death and judgment of God. He thought that this trembling was a sign of the worst reprobate. And he thought this is a sign that God put on Cain, where Cain did not have any hope. It destroyed, he has so much pain, it destroyed his digestion, and he was in terrible pain. He believed he is the type, prototype of Judas. One day, he wanted to get some advice, counseling, so he went to an older man. And he asked him, "I'm afraid I have committed the sin against the Holy God." And the old man said, "Indeed, I'm afraid you have." Talking about getting worse. And here you see, what I'm trying to show you was those days, the commandments of God was preached. When you hear the commandments of God, it really plows your heart. Your heart is so wicked, and nobody can heal your heart. You know, it has to be plowed with the commandments, the moral law. And you can see these people, there was fear of God, fear of death, fear of the judgment. Today, absolutely no fear, huh? People have no fear of God. People have no fear of death. People have fear of death, but they have no fear of hell. People get scared if they burn their finger, but they have no fear of hell. People have a fear of death, but they have no fear of hell. Why? The church is not preaching like before.
the commandments of God. And John Bunyan began attending a church, drew him to a church called, it's a little church at Bedford. The pastor's name was John Gifford, was the pastor. John Bunyan calls his pastor, this holy Mr. Gifford, as Bunyan calls him, was Bunyan's evangelist in the Pilgrim's Progress, if you read. That was Mr. Gifford. And Mr. Gifford, Pastor Gifford, taught Bunyan very faithfully the word of God for years. At Bedford, he became a deacon of St. John's Church. Then his first wife dies soon after that. Then it left John with four motherless children. When Mr. Gifford dies, Pastor Gifford dies in September of the same year. You talk about growing, then comes the adversary at the same time, one after the other. Wife dies, got four orphans, four kids to take care, and his pastor dies. He recalled that a number of people were used by God in his conversion, and one person was Pastor Gifford. Holy Spirit brought conviction over and over again. Then the Bible made his salvation sure. After some time, he was invited to preach. And his sermons produced extremely a powerful effect on the people. Bunyan was illiterate, but he was preaching to illiterate people. They understood what Bunyan said. Thing is, what I want to show you is most of the reformers, they went to Cambridge, Oxford, and their theology is great, very deep, very strong. Bunyan was preaching to the common people, to the poor people in their own language. And they understood. Because Bunyan was able to bring those very strong, deep theology into little small pieces where people can eat on their own. If you read Bunyan's articles today, you will see a different flavor. What I'm saying is, I'm not comparing, what I'm saying is they are the same theology, but a different flavor, which is easy to understand. Spurgeon used Bunyan a lot of times. They both had the same poetical type of preaching, Bunyan and Spurgeon. He became a lay preacher. While earning his living as a tinker, he was preparing kettles, pots and pans. That was his living. But he was a lay preacher, going and preaching everywhere. However, after the restoration of Charles II in 1660, the Puritans, they lost their privilege of worship. In freedom. They lost the freedom of worship. And it was declared illegal to conduct any service, that means church service, except in accordance with the government and so forth like that. So Bunyan was preaching, but he was a lay preacher, not licensed, unlicensed. And because of that, he was preaching to common people. He didn't have a license. He was confined to the Bedford County Jail for 12 years, from 1660 to 1672. Of course, he was allowed to come on and off different intervals. He had a little freedom to come and see his family. He was thrown into prison for preaching the gospel to the poor. This was called unlawful assembly. Today we have all the freedom to preach, but people are not doing it. And also for meeting of for prayer, for reading and hearing the word of God. Within about 8 days of John's arrest, his wife gave birth. His wife gives birth to an infant, and that infant died. And Bunyan was his wife. Tried many ways to get Bunyan out of the jail, and went to the magistrate several times. And Bunyan was taken over, brought in front of the magistrates. They all laughed at him. People made fun at him, mocked at him. And some said, "Your gift is only repairing kettles. That's your gift." And they said, he was warned that if he continued to break the law in preaching, he would face complete banishment or he would be killed. John Bunyan answered and said, "If you let me out today, I will preach tomorrow." Talking about boldness. Hey, having four children who needs to be fed. Then he would have considered, "Oh, what about my children? You know, maybe I will compromise because of my children." No. He loved God. He put God above everything else. We need more Bunyans today. When he was thrown into prison in 1960, he was only 32 years old. A young man. And that was the worst prison that they ever had in the land of England. It was a total dungeon. Bunyan, at that age, he would have thought that, "God, why is happening this to me? I just, started to grow in you. And here I am, one trial after another." But Bunyan never became angry at God. Never became angry at God. Never he raised his fist at God. When he was thrown into prison, he said, "I begged of God that if I might do more good by being at liberty than in prison, that then I might be set at liberty. But if not, his will be done. And verily, at my return, I did meet my God sweetly in the prison again." He said, "That's God's will. God wants me to do that. I will do it." And he said, "Oh, going to prison is to meet my God again." It comforted him. He said that, "Comforting me and satisfying me that it was his will and mine, I should be there, where I lie waiting the good will of God to do with me as he pleases, knowing that not one of my hair can fall to the ground without the will of my Father which is in heaven." What a change of this man. This is that notorious youth that lady said he is the worst kid of the whole town. And what a change. He went through that extremely depressed time. He thought that God can never forgive him. Now you see a tremendous change. Then he said, "Let the rage and malice of man be never so great, they can do no more, nor go no further, that God permits them, but when they have done their worst, we know all things shall work together for good to them that loveth God. He can really take that scripture, because it's the will of God, whatever happens. He saw the providence of God. He didn't look at it and say, well, this happened because that happened, you know. That's today's evangelism. He saw the providence of God. The Holy Spirit and the Word shall, you know, the Holy Spirit and the Word, the prison was made better to him than a palace. He said the Word of God and the Holy Spirit made him more comfortable, better than staying in a palace. Year after year, he patiently stayed in the dungeon. It was the worst prison found in the entire land. He had 4 small children, and among them, a daughter who was blind. And John loved that daughter who was blind. He cared with a lot of tenderness to the blind girl. They suffered, the children suffered in cold and hunger. They did not have food to eat. The father is in prison. And no hope. But when he was brought out, they said, don't preach anymore. He said, no, I will preach tomorrow. At the same time, the children were suffering. Now what will you do in that, if you are in that position with children? Will you compromise? Will you say, no, I will not preach because I had to take care of my children? Or will you give it to the Lord, everything, trusting in him? They suffered with cold and hunger while the dad was in prison. While in prison, he could not repair kettles. That's the only thing he knew. So how can he earn money for the kids? And he was thinking deeply. And he determined to support his family in doing something else. And that is, he was able to make shoelaces this time. So at least he can support his family. God also, for the man who will run the race with so much trouble and hardship, God somehow allowed him to, God gave that gift to make shoelaces now. Bunyan didn't have much books. No. He studied a few books that he had because he was a poor man. He couldn't buy books. But there were two. His greatest companions in the prison, there were two books. One, of course, is the Bible. The other book is the Fox's Book of Martyrs. His knowledge of the Bible, I got this portion from an encyclopedia of 18th century Britannica. This is what he says here. His knowledge of the Bible was great that he was like a living concordance. Amazing. Just read his sermons, you know. I mean, you will see. It was like a living concordance. Prison life gave him the opportunity to write. God gave him the gift to write. He wrote his own religious experience in the book Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. His language spoke to the common man. For the first time, common poor people were able to understand good theology. He sharply criticized the false teachings. Of course, there were other people who also, a lot of reformers, they came down to the common poor people and taught, but Bunyan was able to, because of his uneducated background, he was able to be used more effectively. His, John Bunyan's masterpiece, of course, was The Pilgrim's Progress. And the characters in The Pilgrim's Progress is really John Bunyan in every place. He saw himself in Pilgrim's Progress in every direction. It became a very popular book those days during the Puritan movement, that during that time they were not allowed to read any other novel. Puritans, they did not read, or nor their children read any other novel, because they are worldly. We can brainwash you into different ideas, different philosophy. Even if it's a novel, they can get so much in love with a novel.